What's up, everybody? Welcome back. You've stumbled, probably by accident. This is the Dual Wielding Podcast. This is the third one we've done. I'm Anthony Gerhart. With me is Michael Gleboff, who I've been told will be our other person here, Earl. They're apparently now brother-in-laws.
Future
brother-in-laws. What's that all about?
I don't even want to talk about it.
That's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought.
I don't see the shame in talking about it. You might as well come out and say it.
Well,
it is not like it is the most original thing I've ever heard in my life. Seriously.
I'm sure it's not. I have sisters as well. I just like making fun of you for it.
I will continue to ignore it and not talk to you as long as you want to pull that out.
But you just responded to me about it. Defeats the purpose.
Go on. Got to explain to listeners. This is dead air for me.
Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, no. He was telling me the other day how his sisters play more video games than he does. So I just started making fun of him about, you know, like hooking me up with his sister and how we'd get married. We'd have to decide between Vancouver and New York, but I don't want to get married in Canada, so...
That's fair.
I guess we decided that.
Well, honestly, the only thing I took home from this conversation is why the hell is Mike on this podcast instead of her sister?
She'd probably have more to contribute than I do. It's really weird. She plays a lot of video games.
All right.
It's like not even ones you would expect. I guess some of it is. Like she loves her Harvest Moon and her mostly Nintendo franchises or whatever. But she gets really into some of the hardcore stuff. Like she's played through Heavy Rain like twice, and I haven't even started it yet. But
nice.
She just progressively makes her way through my collection before I get a chance to. So,
well,
are you saying Heavy Rain's not for the hardcore?
Well, that's what he said. It was hardcore.
I mean, Harvest Moon. There we go. Sorry.
Oh.
I get
Harvest Moon's awesome.
And some of it is confused.
Well, apparently next week's tryouts for the permanent spot on the show. So. Sorry, Mike. Looks like you kind of dug your own grave here.
Yeah, well, fitting.
Fun story on my part before we get into anything with news. I got to go to the San Francisco Zoo today, or excuse me, 2 days ago. And one of their fun little exhibits was 11 o'clock. Go watch the grizzly bears eat. So that's cool.
Nice.
By that, the grizzly bears have this huge exhibit that spans through a bunch of space that's separated by little barriers that they can go through if they choose. And grizzly bear feeding time isn't zoo people going in and feeding them or anything, nothing like that. The zoo people put two fish in a little pond, and when it's feeding time and the doors open, the grizzly bears sprint and jump in the pool and hunt these live fish that are fearing for their lives. And, like, there's one that was just standing, like, running on his 2 feet, just running in the pool, and they just corner these fish. And here are all these impressionable kids on a field trip, and the bear gets out of the water, the fish in his hand, rips its head off. It was fantastic. Welcome to the San Francisco Zoo.
Nature is so cool.
Nature is awesome.
Would this be considered child abuse if I made my kids do this?
No, I'm going to make my kids do that. It's, like, the first thing they see when they get out of the house.
Oh, I thought you meant you were going to make your kids, like, fight for... fish.
That's also
its head off in the wilderness or something. Okay, well that makes more sense.
Fantastic idea.
You know, teach them how to be tough and survive on their own. That's
yeah.
what they need.
That's
kids got it too easy these days.
Pretty
just
much.
Make them relive that Hatchet movie or whatever. Put them on a plane that crashes in the middle of the woods and leave them there for a couple months so they can learn to be a man. Well, and
you see, the problem with that is you have to have your kids go on a plane that you know is going to crash and. I don't
it's,
know how you're
it's pretty easy
sense.
To set up. Do you not watch TV?
I was about to say, I don't think it is that easy to set up. I mean, TV's TV.
I'm not following you.
Well, if you've made a plane crash, I don't think you want to admit it on this podcast. We don't want to get in that type of trouble.
Noted. And on that note, let's go ahead and move on. We had a little event this weekend called Comic-Con. Earl probably knows the most about what the going on there, just because it, at least in the past, was typically comic-themed. I've never really followed it. Nothing there really excited me, but we had a few announcements, the most notable of which, in my opinion, was the marriage, at least for one game, of Namco and Capcom in the form of Tekken.
Two games. It's Street Fighter... X Tekken, which is made by Capcom, and it's in the vein of Street Fighter 4. And then there's a Tekken X Street Fighter, which is made by Namco in the form of a Tekken game.
That's interesting. I actually just heard the marriage. I didn't know that there are two separate games, but I guess everyone's a winner in that sense.
It depends. I mean, how many people here are actually Tekken fans?
I played more Tekken than I played Street Fighter.
Really? I'm a huge Capcom... I mean, I'm terrible at fighting games, but I'm more of a Capcom school of fighters.
See, that's... With me, like, I was never big into fighting games either, but Tekken was just easier to pick up and play without feeling like, oh shit, I can't do anything with this character. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's... I mean, you guys would have more to talk about than I would. I've actually never been a huge, huge, you know, fighting enthusiast, but naturally there's a huge audience, you know, for this game, and it was a dream come true. I mean, I actually got to hear about it before the announcement, and the people I was with thought that was absolutely insane.
Yeah, it seems cool. It just, I don't know, like, it seems like they're running the risk of spreading themselves too thin. I don't know,
yeah.
Like, two games, you're going to completely split up your market, because you only have a certain few that are going to buy both, of course.
Well, I mean, I assume it's going to be, they're probably going to be spaced far enough apart. That it won't really matter. And I think if you're a big fighting enthusiast anyhow, you're going to get both. My thing is, and this is a minor thing, but personally speaking, I think something like that made more sense to announce at E3 than Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which makes sense to announce at Comic-Con, because as cool as these are, they aren't really comic-related in any sense.
True, but Comic-Con's turning into basically nerd-con.
Exactly, and that's... Go on.
We had E3 like a month ago, and they announced Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Save that for Comic-Con, because that has something to do with comic books.
Well, they want to bring their big guns to E3, and there's broad audience.
You don't think a Capcom and Namco team up is a big gun for E3?
Not like Marvel vs. Capcom, something that's been established and know people are wanting it.
See, I'm thinking the opposite. I'm thinking, like, you know, people know about Marvel vs. Capcom. They've done, you know, they had Street Fighter vs. X-Men. They had Marvel vs. Capcom 1 and 2. So it's a big, you know, it's a well-known brand. But Capcom and Namco, it's like, you know, something we haven't seen before. That's the type of buzz you get at E3. It's like, you know, this project nobody knew was on the tables.
I can see it both ways. I can see them, you know, everyone's anticipating Marvel vs. Capcom and they want to get their hands on it. And naturally, it would be awesome. It would be a lot of great buzz for both companies if... you know, they had that showing at E3 too, but at the same time, at a smaller show like Comic-Con, the Street Fighter X Tekken has almost taken over the show.
Very true.
I guess that's true, but I guess it's also... Because, I mean, I'm a huge comic fan, but I really can't get excited about comic news at Comic-Con. It's really weird about... I don't know. But, they also introduced some new characters for Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I really don't want to try to pronounce this, but the Wolf of Okami's in it.
Amaterasu.
There we go.
Yep. And a quick note, readers, we just got another entry into our podcast. Old timer, Chad Fleming is here.
Hello, everybody. I'm late. I apologize.
Hey, Chad.
As you should.
Well,
what? I apologize to you two. Take back my apology to him. I do not apologize to you, Earl.
You can't take back your apology from me.
Yeah, I accepted the apology because he ate half a keg, which is a lot more worthwhile than talking on the internet for about an hour.
Did he say he had a keg?
Cake.
Oh. If it was a keg, I would have excused that. That would have been awesome if he's just, like, drinking the keg before the podcast.
Yeah, I just hold it in one hand like a mug, except it's a keg.
That's perfect.
Well, I'm sure you could have had something to drink, and you don't have to hold it. Or
he's currently upside down doing a keg stand.
I was about to say he could do
while
a keg
talking
stand
into the mic.
Why the hell isn't he the host? But yeah, we're talking about Marvel and Capcom. Marvel vs. Capcom, Amaterasu. What are the new characters?
Thor. Chun-Li, Super Skrull.
Oh, right.
There was somebody else, Doctor Doom.
Trish. Or not Trish.
Trish.
Someone from, yeah.
Yeah.
What is Trish even from?
Is it from Devil May Cry?
Okay.
Is Dante, Dante's in the game.
Yep. Yeah.
Damn right he is.
It's all that game's all about fan service, and honestly, it's more of a accessible to a button masher such as myself in those fighting games than Street Fighter or Tekken is. in my opinion.
Yeah, that's why I like the Versus series more than I like the mainstream Street Fighter. Oh, and, you know, I'm just going to keep going off on these tangents, but they also announced Street Fighter 3 Third Strike Online Edition.
What?
Okay. Yeah, I know, it's a mouthful. What can I say? It's Capcom. But, you know, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, which is like the third version of Street Fighter 3, and it's coming out, I guess, on PSN and Xbox Live Arcade sometime this year.
Okay. Oh, more goodness from Capcom, it looks like.
Yeah, they really have dominated this Comic-Con, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity. I mean, like, when you do think about it, like, what they held from E3, they get all the attention for now. Like, especially in the last few years, you've seen a lot of companies waiting for their announcements post E3.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have the benefit of having Comic-Con to kind of just alleviate whatever they do have to talk about, as opposed to just a few press releases that'll get them all the attention.
Yep, and that's exactly why I can see, you know, why they would have held on. I mean, it wouldn't have been a bad decision to show off at E3 because it would have gotten the press there, but, I mean, you see it now. This is the big announcement at Comic-Con, and honestly, who is expecting, like, megaton announcement at Comic-Con?
Yeah, it's cool.
That's true.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends. I mean, we also had the huge news on the movies and stuff, but
yeah, I get, you know, yeah, talking through games.
Yeah,
they did have some cool movie announcements, though. There was a photo of, you know, all the cast members of the Avengers, and that's actually really exciting to see coming up.
I'm kind of curious if, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be an Avengers game. I'm curious if it's going to be in the style of like the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games.
Mm-hmm.
I actually enjoy those, even if they're not the best games around.
Yeah.
And I guess at that point, they're pretty much our Avengers games. You have Captain America and Thor and Hulk and all those other fun people in the game anyhow.
Have you guys, did you guys ever play the old arcade style? I had it on the Genesis. I don't know if it was on the Super Nintendo 2. I had it as Captain America and the Avengers.
Yeah, I played that on the Genesis as well.
Yep. I played the hell out of that with all of its cheesy one-liners and voice things. Let's see, they had Captain America. They had Hawkeye. You don't hear about anymore. They had Iron Man.
He's in the movie, so it is that.
Okay. And they also had Vision.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the hell Vision was. He was always a joke to anyone that played the game when we brought it over. Yeah, that was Avengers.
Actually, all the Marvel games for, I guess, Genesis and Super Nintendo were really enjoyable.
Yeah, X-Men. Yeah. I remember that.
And I think that's where the whole Marvel vs. Capcom 9 started. I think Capcom did Marvel War of Gems on the Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where like that whole line keeps on evolving into Marvel vs. Capcom 3 today.
Gotcha.
But
does anyone else kind of feel like Capcom may be pulling an Activision a little bit with what they did to Guitar Hero?
Pouring it out?
But it's like, I mean, we've had Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4, Tatsunoko versus Capcom, Marvel versus Capcom, and now these two new games announced here, plus the other half of the Tekken X Street Fighter. Like, doesn't it just seem like there's a lot of fighting games coming out really quickly?
Yeah.
Especially for a genre that's been kind of dead for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they hit some success with Street Fighter 4 and Blaze Blue, and now they're just, I feel like they might be coming on a little hard right now.
You consider in the past, too, you remember how many versions of Street Fighter 2 that they had?
Oh, yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, and Tatsunoko vs. Capcom, I think that was just a unique title entry just for, you know, the drought of Wii owners that, you know, didn't really even have a fighting game. But I can definitely see what you're saying, and Nintendo's guilty of it. Everyone's guilty of it. You have a successful franchise or successful genre, and you want to keep going at it. But do you think that they're adding, I mean, more new than, for example, what the Guitar Hero series is adding?
I mean, at least these are all, I mean, fundamentally different games from the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love Street Fighter 4, and from what I've played of Marvel vs. Capcom, I mean, you can't even really compare those two games.
No, you can't. And I was going to say it's the same thing with Tatsunoko vs. Capcom. I mean, it's from the Marvel vs. Capcom vein, but even then it's more I think that's more of a flashy fighter where it's kind of like you just press a bunch of random buttons and it makes it like you're doing something really awesome instead of like having to memorize moves and stuff. And I don't fault them for it. I mean, it's not like they're releasing it's not like they're releasing Street Fighter 4 with different skins on all of these games. It's like they're leveraging their brand. I mean, it's like, you know, Street Fighter focuses on that. Marvel vs. Capcom kind of mixes their character. Like, you don't see Mega Man in many of their fighting games, or like Dante or stuff like that. And each character brings a different type of moveset into the game, I guess. Gives it a different balance, and...
I mean, it's kind of like Super Smash Brothers in that vein.
Yeah. But on the same hand, I wouldn't want to see Smash Brothers every year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I might just buy it.
I mean, exactly. I mean, there are when you take a beloved franchise such as Smash Brothers or Street Fighter, you're going to have people that are, you know, really protective over it, and they want to make absolutely sure that everything goes, you know, everything goes smoothly. That's why you still have people that say that Melee is a much better fighter than Brawl, because they thought that Brawl took away a lot of the competitive elements.
Yeah. Speaking of franchises, I hold dear to my heart. They announced the Green Lantern game at Comic-Con from Warner Brothers Studios. And as much as I love Arkham Asylum, which I do not see how a Green Lantern game's gonna work.
Okay, hold on. What, as far as like a heralded franchise, I have actually had zero interest in the Green Lantern. Chatter, Mike, do you have either of you follow that franchise through comics or anything?
Somewhat, I don't know. Not until recently for comics. But I have no real particular interest in him.
Yeah, I know of him as far as he's always one of those core characters that I hear about, but I mean, I don't really know anything about the character now.
Yeah, I don't even know what he does, but I guess go on, Earl.
Well, I guess I guess that would be the problem, is that that's the core of the issue with the game to me, is that he does anything. He wields the power ring, and it pretty much creates any construct he can think of with his mind. And I'm just, like, I don't know how that translates to a video game at all.
Well, see, the thing about Green Lantern is, like for someone like Batman, you have one Batman. You have the Batman. It's Bruce Wayne. But from what I know of Green Lantern, isn't there, like, six of them, let alone, like, a whole corporation or whatever?
There's a corpse, which is like an army, and there's four main ones. I mean, for the most part, I'm sure this game's going to have Hal Jordan, because he's the guy in the movie next year and the guy they're focusing on now in the comics. And he's the Green Lantern people think of. So, yeah, it's going to I assume, if anything, it's going to focus on Hal Jordan. I don't know if I doubt it's going to be co-op or anything like that. But, yeah, like I said, my problem with the game is just like, his ring does anything you want it to do, so I don't know if they're gonna like just give you like constructs that are randomly generated, or if it's gonna be like a puzzle game where you have like an attack one, like a grab one and stuff like that, and you just use it at various points of the game.
I guess when you're talking about it doing anything you want it to do, I mean, could you make any parallels to, for example, recent released Lego Harry Potter, is that when you learn spells, supposedly you can do anything, you know, with magic, but you would have the access to certain abilities or, you know, certain spells, and be able to use them through your leisure, some for fun, some crucial for puzzle-solving elements.
Yeah, that's what I assume they're going to have to do, but literally, I mean, the ring can do anything. It's done. Let's see. I mean, they use it basically, you know, they have the basics, punch, kicks, grabs, throws. Then he can use it to make like, anime robots. He can use it to make missile launchers, snipers. So it's limited by your imagination, and that's the part of the game that I'm going to have a disconnect with. It's like, you know, I want to do this right now, and the game's not going to let me do it. It's like, you know, what, screw this game.
It's almost like as if you made it some kind of marriage with Scribblenauts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen, but yeah.
Something that should be really cool.
It depends. If it controls anything like the original Scribblenauts, I'm out of here. Hated the touchscreen controls for that game.
Wait, are we talking as of a marriage, or are we talking about Scribblenauts 2?
I was talking about Scribblenauts the original at this point, but okay. It's like that concept where you just have like a basket of ideas, and whatever you can think of, you can throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, like, how do you craft a well? Scribblenauts, for the most part, I mean, I didn't get that far because I kind of got pissed off the controls, are like simple missions. Like, you have to get this star at the end of the level. It's just how you do it that is different.
And it naturally creates problems when you put into a 3D space in an open world.
Yeah. And I'm curious. I'm going to be watching this game with intrigue just to see how they go about that. I don't know if I'll get it, but I want to see what they're thinking to do with it.
I think they'll be creative, and I honestly think that the way that they'll have to do it is maybe they have certain, I mean, maybe it is split up into kind of levels rather than just an open-ended design where in some aspects you would have, you'd be able to turn your, use your ring to make certain objects or items similar to a boy in his blob. I mean, naturally, it's going to be restricted by the fact that it's a game, but you can't, I mean, you can't recreate everything.
But that's what I mean, and that's kind of, it's like, that's the point of the power, and it's like, you know, I'm sure they're going to have parts where it's like you have a boss battle, and you create this one construct to fight the boss, and you'll never see it again. And I'll accept that, but it's just going to be a really interesting game to watch, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else? We touched on GoldenEye a little bit last time. That was also at Comic-Con this time. Earl, you found out some new stuff regarding some of the details about it?
Well, that, but before we touch on that, I guess, is the new game, James Bond Bloodstone by Bizarre Games? Bizarre Creations?
Bizarre Creations.
And it's a 3D action-adventure-driving game, I want to say.
Similar to Everything or Nothing.
I was
going to
say, you played Everything or Nothing. It looks like that's the spiritual successor to that. And based on interviews, I guess that's what they were going for. And
it's a good game too.
Yeah, I was about to say I've never had said it, but it's my favorite Bond game. I think Bond works better in third person than it does in first person. As much as GoldenEye is loved, I really hated the fact that everybody tried to make Bond into a first person shooter because most of the movies aren't about him shooting things. He's a spy first, not a gunman.
I mean, it works, and I mean, the fact that he is that kind of spy attributes to the fact that Everything or Nothing worked quite well, too. I think it's open to either interpretation. I mean, both interpretations of the titles that have been fun. So, you know, the Wii's getting GoldenEye, and the two more technically powerful systems are getting this Bloodstone, which, for some reason, makes me think of a kidney stone.
Well, somehow I guess they wanted you to think of diamonds. That wasn't the first thing that came to mind.
I thought they wanted you to think of Joss Stone. Isn't she, like, in it or something?
Yeah, she's the Bond girl. And I think she sings the theme song.
I'm just laughing just because of our different interpretations just from the title.
Yeah, I honestly don't think the title sounds like a Bond thing, but yeah, I think it's an awful name.
It's better than Quantum of Solace.
But you see, I'll give Quantum of Solace its pass because it's actually based on something Ian Fleming wrote. So it has some basis in the book.
Still, I mean, think about the definition of what that means, a Quantum of Solace. It's, you guys know what it is?
I have no clue.
It just sounds like, you know, two really cool words put together, but it's like an open space or just this certain, not space, but it's like an intangible space of loneliness.
Wow.
I thought it was that little piece of relationship that was left over after you broken up, like the ass piece you cling on to. Or at least that's what they said during the PR for the movie.
Oh, of course they said that.
But see, that's not even that's not James Bond.
Well, I mean,
I can see that's in his new character reboot, and because you know that most of the story was about, you know, getting over her, and then where to go from there. Which
true.
It's an interesting take, and you know they've had so many Bond films. It's refreshing.
And it remedied my problem I had with Diamonds Are Forever, but again, that's something completely different. As for GoldenEye, I mean, I know you played it at E3, but they had I don't know if it's updated build, but they had videos of the single player mode, and it really doesn't, it takes much from the original at this point.
Does or does not?
Doesn't.
Okay.
Like, again, it's been a long time since I played the game, but like watching it starts off with him and 006, who is no longer Sean Bean.
Right.
I want to say. And as far as I know, he's not in the opening of the original game.
Right. We saw but like this stuff in the trailer, like they were driving up instead of Bond entering alone, and there's naturally going to be a lot of different stuff in the game just through licensing issues. But I mean, what else you see?
Well, I mean, it does look like Call of Duty. You have like the aim down the sights, and you have that whole you got shot, and there's like a little red arrow that's showing you where you're getting shot from. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed that you can carry more than two weapons, which is nice.
Good.
You don't have to pick up weapons, or I don't know how that works, but they picked up the sniper rifle and I guess like an assault rifle just by walking over it.
Good.
There's some quick time events, and they have some of those. How many of you have played Modern Warfare 1 or 2?
Go on.
Like the breaching events where you go into a room and it shows down and you have to take everybody out before it ends.
Yep.
Yeah, they have one of those sequences, which I'm not too keen on.
Kind of like it.
I don't like it in Bond.
I guess.
It just doesn't feel right in this game. I like it when it's used in Call of Duty because it's, you know, it adds a cinematic feel to it, which is odd saying this for a movie franchise, but I don't think GoldenEye needs it, or I don't want it there.
Well, it's
fits better with the characters in Call of Duty too, I think.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing where you're going to have to get used to it because, guess what? It's made by the same people.
Well, it's published by Activision, but it's made by Eurocon, right?
Yeah, published by Activision, so Activision will have a good amount of say of what goes into it because they're providing the funds.
I wouldn't fault them for it. Call of Duty is the most successful first-person shooter franchise out there right now, so why not imitate the king?
Mm-hmm.
But and then they had some videos of the multiplayer at new level, which looked really, really boring. And they were playing Golden Gun, which looks like it's not going to be a really fun mode.
Here's the thing about Golden Gun is that, you know, it took so long to kill someone in the N64 GoldenEye, right? Firefights lasted a long time. And now you take three shots at someone with an assault rifle and they're down. So the Golden Gun is almost,
useless.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if once you add, like, when it's, like, four players and it's a place you can hide out, it's a bit different. But, like, this stage was kind of open, so you're shooting one person with it and the other two guys are shooting you in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're holding the gun for, like, 10, you get, like, two or three kills with it before somebody guns you down. We'll see how it goes. But it's nice to see that they haven't, they're including new multiplayer maps, even if it looks bad.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
On GoldenEye?
Oh, six.
News.
I thought it was interesting that Sucker Punch is planning on scrapping the infamous 2-player model entirely for something more closer to the original.
They listen to the fans.
Yeah. I'm into it. I think it's cool. It's nice that they're receiving feedback like that. And
it's nice that they listen to it. I mean, I don't think it's a game breaker, so it's nice for them to change it up a bit.
Are you guys down? Like it seems like a pretty far depart. I don't know if any of you played the first Infamous, but what did you think of the like almost entire retooling of the visuals for the second?
I hated it. I was angry when I saw the pictures of the new Cole, just because I mean it's this character that you've kind of spent so much time with, and for all intents and purposes. This new guy, I mean, was not Cole.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a full-on new voice actor and a model that's unrelated to the original, isn't it?
I was going
to
ask, are they getting back the old voice actor now that they're switching his model back?
I don't think so, no.
I think there were other logistic issues involved in not being able to get that voice actor.
I don't think that they got a new model for Cole just because they lost the voice actor. I mean, it's not like a new Zelda where it's, you know, who knows when the timeline comes in. It really is a direct sequel, and the fans are going to want the person that they grew to know to, you know, be the same person.
Yeah.
I heard it had something to do with the fact that they're trying to use the actors who are doing the motion capturing for this game. I could be mistaken, but that's what I've heard, that they switched it over because they want to mimic the voice actor. I guess, like, Smeagol? No. What's the dude's Gollum. Name? There we go.
Gollum,
what's
Smeagol.
His other name?
Smeagol.
There Andy Serkis.
Those are all correct answers.
You all won $1,000, not on me. And it's probably in pesos.
Go on.
Okay, and I mean, we might as well connect final pricing.
Oh, I thought you were, I thought we were still good.
I had nothing else to say to that. I mean, I like Infamous, but I haven't beat it yet, so I don't have that attachment to him.
Okay. But I, like what you said, I think connect pricing is something we can all pitch in on what we thought. As you guys, as you listeners may have heard, the Kinect official pricing was announced at $150, and that was the exact same amount that had been rumored since E3 and a little bit before E3.
Yeah, and I like how Microsoft kept on denying it. Like, at some point, you just have to shut up and kind of go with it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to make an announcement, and they wanted to make sure the time was right and make sure they had a couple of fancy images to show why their console was the most price-efficient. Cost of it.
Okay. Maybe I wasn't really around for it, so I. But what was the proper timing for this announcement? It just seemed like an odd Thursday or Friday, whatever it was announced.
It wasn't like an event or anything, but naturally, you know, their PR department had a reason for it. I'm not a part of it, so I'm not sure. But Chad, Mike, what are you guys thinking about it?
I don't know. Like, I'm in the market for a new Xbox 360, so. I don't think I'll be able to drop another $150 for Kinect.
Well, if you're in the market,
as much as I do want.
You're in the market for a new one, you said.
I was going to think.
They're releasing a bundle for $300 that has Kinect with it.
Yeah, I heard about it. Isn't that one of the, like, that's pretty minimal, one of the lower
yes,
gig models?
That's your trade-off. You'll have a whopping 4 gigabytes to work with.
I'm not mistaken, those are the hard drives that they can't replace yet.
Yeah, see? So that's a... I don't know.
And, I mean, aside from the fact that the cost stuff... I mean, were there any games that Mike, that you would want to drop down $150 for? Do you see any software
support? Oh, no, not at all.
I could see Mike playing some Dance Central.
Oh, Dance Central. I'll admit, that looks like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Like, to bring
over...
Because
it's $150 fun.
Not $150 fun, but I don't know. I have hope that... they have something down the line at some point, but right now it's nothing I'm going to go out of my way to purchase.
What are you thinking about? What are you looking, what are you waiting for? What's your, what kind of potential do you see in it?
I want something from Rare. Like, I don't know. I'm a big Rare fanboy, so I'm hoping that whatever they have up their sleeve is something I'll really be interested in.
Yep.
I thought they were the ones doing Kinect Adventure and Kinect Sports.
Yeah, from what I understand, they are, but I mean, like, I don't know.
Like a true like a project. Rare. I mean, it's, I get what you're saying. I mean,
It's not hold out hope for Rare anymore. It's been too long.
I've loved, what did they last come out with? Banjo-Kazooie,
Nuts and Bolts.
I thought that was amazing.
Yep. Nuts and Bolts was good. Viva Pinata was good.
I hate Nuts and Bolts so much.
Really?
Tell us about it.
See,
sounds like it murdered your family.
It did. It murdered my childhood. I you know, I expected a platformer for Banjo-Kazooie, not some stupid type of car combat game thingamajiggy.
But it wasn't.
That's what I was about to ask,
that
isn't it?
That's like the narrowest view of what that game
that
is.
That sounds like
the possibility that the game has.
Well, like I said. Well, not like I said, but I've always played the demo, and that was enough to have me disinterested in the game. Blame it on Microsoft. I would have bought it if I didn't have the demo. I had Cameo. Perfect Dark Zero.
Did you guys like Star Fox Adventures?
Kind of.
Not really.
I've never played it.
I went in not expecting for any kind of you know, traditional Star Fox experience, and I mean, for a game that was obviously, it was clearly a Zelda clone, but it was, I mean, it wasn't made by Nintendo, it was made by Rare. I thought they did a fair job with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Like, and I don't like the Star Fox franchise. Like, I'm not particularly too interested in it. And like you said, like, if you don't go in expecting that, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would have enjoyed it more had it not been called Star Fox Adventures. Like, had it been called something else, Adventures.
You mean like Dinosaur Planet?
I was just kind of frustrated that it wasn't a real Star Fox game, like a Star Fox 64 style of game.
I mean, still waiting for it. Assault was okay, but, you know, still waiting for it.
How was the one done by, was that the one done by Namco?
Assault? Yeah, that was Namco.
Okay, then who did Armada?
There was an Armada.
There was
one on the DS that was Star Fox Command or something.
Huh, I could have sworn it was 3 on the GameCube, I guess.
There was early rumors about a supposed Star Fox Armada, but it was either done away with or fan-made.
Okay. I've never gotten into Star Fox. I just don't like the franchise.
I love the gameplay, and, you know, because I played the game a lot, it the characters grew on me. I mean, not in the sense that it's my favorite franchise, but I like the atmosphere, and it's the closest thing that we have to right now is a Sin and Punishment that was released recently, kind of on rails, but you still have to dodge stuff, kind of action.
Yeah.
But
that was kind of the game that defined the 64's generation for me. Like, that was the reason I got a Nintendo 64 in the first place.
That Rumble Pack!
And I just played it constantly throughout the system's entire lifespan. Like, that was just my go-to game. If I want to sit down and just play for a few hours, or not a few hours, it was only, what, hour and a half
pretty
long?
Much.
I mean, you could blow through it right quick. And that's kind of what I like about it. You could go through it, try to beat your high score. Man, high scores are deadly.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that's one thing 64 had that Assault on the GameCube didn't. It had branching paths. Like, Assault on the GameCube was just linear, straightforward. But depending on how well you did or what you did on 64, you would unlock different paths to go through, which would result in different endings, too. But, yeah, back to Kinect. Chad, what's your thoughts on the price point?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I would like for it to be cheaper. I think I would probably prefer having just a Kinect available rather than having to get that particular game with it, because I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, obviously, I haven't played it yet, so I don't want to make any judgments, but it doesn't look like my type of game.
It's kind of not good.
Okay, let's... consistent with what I expected. It's tough to say, because given what it is doing, I don't know how they could have made it too much cheaper and still made a profit off of it. So I kind of understand why it's at that price. But right now, there's just not enough stuff announced for me to justify buying it. Like, I think it's probably the coolest example of motion control out there now. And I think it's got a lot of potential. You can do some cool things with it. But I haven't seen that yet, so I'm probably going to sit back and wait for some new things to get announced.
Perfectly agree. I agree, definitely.
So, I mean, are you folks actually expecting any type of major support for this thing?
I'm expecting support from big developers, but I'm not expecting... when they find the niche for Kinect, which is dance... style games, exercise style games. It's for the broad audience. The Wii Remote and the PlayStation's Move are able to create a bridge between the two types of gamers. And this is something the games on Kinect aren't going to be able to do that. And if they try, for example, the Star Wars game we saw, they're not going to be able to do it well. And that's simply because the core games have open worlds. They have complex gameplay. And without a controller, without a control stick, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. And it was the same thing with the DS when that first came out. I mean, we saw there were some really not great games come out for that at the beginning because everyone was trying to take their idea of what a regular game was and kind of shoehorn it into this DS system with the stylus and the touching and, okay, how are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And, where you saw the system really come into its own is when everyone started developing from the ground up for what that could specifically do. And I think Kinect's going to be the same in that you have to design a Kinect game. You can't say, I want to take this RPG and make it for Kinect. I want to make this RPG a Kinect game.
Exactly.
But, AC, I think the problem with that is that you have the Xbox right there. It's like, do I risk making this game for Kinect and alienating 40 million people off the back, or do I just kind of like make it for the Xbox and see where it goes?
Well, you take that, see GoldenEye. Why are they making it for Wii? The Xbox and the PS3 are the shooter platforms. I mean, why risk also Mad World on Wii?
But that's, I think that's a, I understand your point, but I think that's somewhat different in that, you know, it's like if you were to use GoldenEye for the Wii with like a classic controller only, when you had the Wiimote, it's like, why would somebody, or if you were to use the classic controller for GoldenEye and then it's like, you know, I have the Wiimote here anyhow, I might as well use it. It's like, if you're gonna make a Halo for Kinect, do you risk making it for Kinect only and not feeding that 40 million user base that's already on the console for this peripheral that you don't know how well it's going to do?
Well, I mean, you're talking about taking risks with a new game or something where, you know, you could make it for Kinect, or you could make a sure buck if you release it just for the standard Xbox or PS3. But like I was just saying, take, for example, Mad World from Sega on Wii, or take Suda51's No More Heroes franchise. Those are, you know, ultra-violent games that are more suited to some of the gamers on Xbox or PS3 because, I mean, face it, the Wii is a, in the public view, Wii is a family-oriented system. But they decided to take that risk and bring it there. So people are going to take risks.
I'm not going to say they won't take risks, but on the same hand, you're not going to tell me that No More Heroes or Mad World is the peak of Ubisoft or Sega's development skills. I mean, at best, I would say B-teams.
Do you think that B-teams made No More Heroes?
Suda isn't a AAA developer. As much as I like his games, he's not, you know, like his games don't get the same type of budget you would give to something like a Modern Warfare or an Uncharted.
But I don't really think it's fair to compare him to something like that.
Which is my point. It's like, nope, like, If you want to use an example like that, you have to find some type of game on the Wii that was like Monster Hunter is a better example, I think. In that game, would have made more sense on an HD console because of the graphics and because of the effort and because of the online interface than it does on the Wii. If that makes sense. Whereas something like No More Heroes or Mad World, I don't think would have had an audience on the 360 or the PS3 because they don't look like these huge standard bearers.
So you're saying that they would have more of an audience on the so-called family Wii rather than 360 or PS3?
Yeah, because I think, and again, I could be completely wrong here, is that if they were on the 360 or the PS3, they would not have gotten that much publicity because it was something different on the Wii. People talked about it.
I still think Mad World's art style would have differentiated from the pack just from, you know, just that, the art style. And Suda51 may not supposedly be a developer, but it's, I mean, he has style behind his games, with made Killer 7 a cult classic, and it would have garnered a lot of hype from press sites.
I really don't think so, but like I said, I could be wrong on that.
On that note, it is evident that Earl wants to kill Suda51 and his family. We'll go back to Kinect. So the $150 price point, just talking about the practicality of it, what do you think would be an enticing price point for those that weren't absolutely convinced? Because $150 is actually a good amount to put down for something that, you know, you might not be convinced about.
Especially when you don't have the software to back it up, like we were talking about.
I think Dance Central is going to be that game this holiday that gets Kinect into people's homes. And I'm kind of wishing that they kind of did an open bundle with Kinect where you can pick a game to go with it instead of... Because Kinect and Veggie didn't seem like the most interesting of the games they showed. I would have been like Dance Central or Kinect Sports or even Joyride would have been the top three for me.
Joyride's going to be free, though, isn't it?
No.
It was going to be.
Because I remember watching the trailer at last year's E3 press conference and thinking, okay, this looks kind of cool if it was free. Yeah. Like, just kind of sarcastically, and they're like, and it's free! Oh, great! Okay.
And they're going to Kinect game, and they're charging for it, so...
I did not know that.
But yeah, I can see Dance Central being that game that gets people talking about Kinect. I mean, you saw how Just Dance did. I mean, that's what, a 3-4 million sold at this point. And this looks like a game that actually takes skill. So, it's got that going for it.
But it's also a game that's being introduced with a new piece of hardware. See, that's the thing, like,
but
if
I mean,
someone is interested in Dance Central, they also have to be interested in dropping $150 for Kinect.
I was going to say, it worked for Wii Fit, and the balance board is used for nothing else for the most part.
I think it would have been more enticing had they released this bundle, but given you, like, a voucher for a Kinect-specific game. So it's $150, you get Kinect and a Kinect game. I mean, I can understand why they didn't, because this was probably... I mean, Kinect Adventures probably didn't have the highest budget in the world. It displays what Kinect can do pretty well, and that's probably not a game a lot of people are going to buy on its own. So this is a really good way to get it out there. But, I don't know, just having to drop $150 for Kinect and a game I don't want to play, and then a game I do want to play on top of that, it just kind of feels excessive.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're going for the Nintendo-style approach where Kinect Adventures is something where it gets families involved, and, you know, it comes with every Kinect, so families will see that associated. They will see their friends, you know, get off the couch to play these games, just like they saw their friends get off the couch with Wii Sports and whatnot. And if they like it, which Microsoft seems to assume that they will, then that will sell other Kinect bundles through word of mouth. So it's not for us. I mean, let me make that clear. This bundle isn't for us. It's merely an attempt to try and sell more Kinect bundles just through, you know, these casual people playing these games and seeing how there's no controller and they just get their body into it. And that's what Microsoft hopes will sell the bundles.
And I think this is the biggest problem with their pricing scheme is, if you like it or not, $50 more gets you a Wii controller, Wii Motion Plus, Wii Sports, and Wii Sports Resort. And for the most part, those are games we know people want at this moment. And it's going to be really hard to say, you know, it's $150 for this device, and you still have to buy a console on top of it, instead of saying, oh, $200, you get these two games, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
I don't know if either one of you, I know Anthony has seen, I don't know if Mike and Chad have seen the charts that Sony and Microsoft released this week showing the different pricing scheme for their motion controllers.
That was laughable.
It was.
No, I didn't see it.
It's all just marketing crap, and we can all look at it and see that pretty easily, but still, it's, I don't know, I think it's crazy.
Well, let's explain what it is for the people that haven't seen it. Both Microsoft released a photo first. It was late last week. It had comparisons between all the consoles and the cost of motion, or for Microsoft, the cost of motion. For Sony, the difference in what each system offered. The Microsoft cost for motion showcased its bundle and its game worth $50 on its own, apparently. Was more affordable than PlayStation's Move, the camera, and the controller, like an extra controller for multiplayer. And it showed it was more Microsoft's Kinect was more affordable than Nintendo's option because the Kinect is literally more affordable than a Wii Motion Plus, an extra Wii Emote, an extra Nunchuck, and it includes a balance board. In its comparison, like it includes the $100 Wii Fit bundle. That's the only way they could get it more affordable than the Wii. Which, it's not really something to compare. It's the Wii is cheaper because the hardware is cheaper. That's all you need to know.
Yeah,
I think the problem with that is that you can't sell that. I mean, there's no way to spin that. Like, we're better because we're more advanced. It hasn't worked for 4 years. So they're trying to say, you know, if you really, really want to enjoy that Wii, it adds up. But it's like, you get three games in that. You have and you're pretty much good to go. And the balance board isn't really optional unless you're really, really, really a Wii Fit. Mm-hmm.
And as Stephen Colbert would say, that's just leftist PR propaganda.
Put out by the lamestream media.
as bad as the Microsoft one is, I'm really more against the Sony one, which just seems... It's like, I think they did something like this earlier in the generation where they had a spreadsheet that's shown that it was cheaper to get a PS3 than it was to get a Xbox and Wii, because you had to buy like a Wi-Fi adapter and you had to buy your Xbox Live.
And the running joke is that what Microsoft forgot to put in was that in their calculations, they forgot to add in the cost of a couch, because you can't play Kinect sitting down. You have to be sitting down to play the others.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? And I guess they limited it to two people, so...
That was kind of a joke.
I mean, that's...
Well, I mean, you can take that out as far as you want to. You also have to buy a house to play those in.
Yep, you got to buy a friend, too. Maybe a prostitute.
But it's a really good point.
We all know that gets expensive.
Well, it depends on where you go. I mean, not that I have experience buying those, but...
It's true. Like, I personally play my Xbox 360 at my desk on my computer monitor. So I'll have to rearrange my play style to make up for Kinect, and I'm sure a lot of other people will too. Like, I don't know.
Steep investment. That's a steep, steep investment.
You don't have a dance floor in your apartment?
Me?
Yeah. You gotta get that ball too.
I have one built in.
Well, I mean, he probably does, but it's probably just not where he plays games. That's all.
Exactly. You get a separate room for that.
Yeah, get another one then.
How do you play Just Dance? Or
alone, because that's what you get if you get it.
I don't know. So
I guess going on another tangent, one thing that people actually don't think about is how much was the Rock Band bundle when it first came out?
170?
Was it 170?
Was it really?
I thought it was over 200.
Was it? I thought it was like 170.
Anyway, you know, plus 150 plus at the very least.
Yeah.
So,
I think it was 1 year, so whatever that means in crazy American prices.
Yeah.
Which changes per year.
Decreases. But that's the thing, is that Rock Band is limited to, you know, Rock Band games and its sequels, and people were more than willing to shell out the near $200 for this kind of experience. So in that sense, it almost makes the Kinect look affordable.
That's
a great comparison, actually. I hadn't thought of that.
It's a good comparison, I guess, but on the same hand, Rock Band kind of sets you up like 3 or 4 plays out of the box. And it's a software people wanted, and it was the reason they needed those instruments.
Okay, try DJ Hero then, 130.
Didn't sell that well.
They are making a sequel, but I guess my sense that didn't. I mean, I don't know the NPD numbers, but.
Well, because I was reading a PR message from one of the Activision spokesperson where they were saying like people were saying DJ Hero was a bomb or whatever, but it's once it started to like level off the price, and then it's like you can find it at most places like $50 now, but like once it started hitting sub 100, the momentum started to pick up.
Yeah, I think it was one of the best-selling hero games of that year.
That doesn't really... There was, like, what, 30 of them?
Yeah, but still, I mean...
That's what I'm saying. I've
sold more than Guitar Hero, more than Band Hero.
I thought it sold so, it was so people were willing to buy it.
Somewhat successful, at least.
It was somewhat successful, but it got better once it got cheaper. And, like I said, I'm not going to sound pulling for Kinect, but I still think it has more potential to sell than the Move does. It's something that's different, and it's something that people are going to enjoy.
Yeah, it's
because there's nothing else like it, and I'm sure somebody's going to come out, oh, but you haven't played the iToy yet. It's just like Kinect. No, Sony didn't market the iToy the same way Microsoft's doing this Kinect. I don't know about the Canadian boys, but I know like the Macy's here in New York City, there's a Kinect demo set up that I've been meaning to check out all week. And I know it's in at least 12 other places in this country.
Mm-hmm. I think it's...
We got nothing. Over in Canada?
It sounds about right.
I think it's a...
Hey, whatever, dude. We're getting Netflix now. We're moving up in the world.
And we still don't have a date for that.
A date for...
Fall? Fall is a date.
I like it. You see, you guys are catching up. But the question, I mean, it's hard to tell whether or not, you know, which is going to sell more between Move and Kinect, because, I mean, I don't have the polls. I don't know how the general consumer, are people going to want to upgrade to an HD Wii experience? Because that is what Kinect is, or excuse me, Move. That's what Move is. It is the Wii HD. And will people see Kinect as different enough? I mean, do they think that they got enough out of, you know, motion control with the Wii, what they're happy with Wii Tennis, Wii Bowling? It's a tough call. It's going to be something that's actually very, very fun for me to watch.
Well, personally, I don't think, not that people don't want HD, I just don't think it warrants enough to upgrade from the Wii.
For a Blu-ray player.
So well, yeah, that's why I got my PS3, but that's another subject. My point is that people are satisfied with the Wii, and right now the Move doesn't offer anything new in that regard. You have stuff, I mean, not even talking about Esports Champions or whatever, which are direct knockoffs of Wii Sports, but Killzone, SOCOM aren't the type of games that are going to sell to an audience that doesn't already have a PS3. And who probably are going to buy it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really expand the PS3 user base, because I don't think the type of person who wants Move or who has a Wii want first-person shooters. Or they would have picked up on the pretty poor ones we have on the Wii now. Kinect, on the other hand, you go to a store, it looks different. It acts different. There's no controller. You know that it's different from the Wii. And as much as people are going to hate on it for having dance games and sports games and fitness games, they're the type of games that are going to entice people, because you get to see people get up and move and play, and it's something you can just jump in and do and have fun with without having to earn this pesky controller.
Yeah, I actually I agree with you there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd say you're definitely right in that. I think the more mainstream consumers out there will probably be more open to the Kinect, whereas the Move will probably sell more to people who already play a lot of games. I mean, they've probably already got a PS3, or at least considered it at some point. The PS3 has the games that they're looking for, type of thing, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
it seems
like
more marketed towards
the Move at the Killzone.
It's more to satisfying their own audience again.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas it's like, okay, you saw the Wii, maybe you thought the Wii was cool, maybe you have a Wii, but you're looking for a little more with that, and here are all these rad PlayStation games that you can play, whereas I don't see that affecting the mainstream consumer quite as much.
Yeah, at the end of the day, and I'm sure I'll get crap for this, Sony doesn't really have that franchise anymore. Like, somebody's going to say Gran Turismo, and I'm sure it's going to sell well, but they don't have that franchise that makes people want or need a PS3 anymore. And
are you trying to say Move Party isn't going to sell a million?
I'm sure it's going to sell a million, but I don't think
it's going to
sell a million.
I'm going to assume that what is the Move's career app for this year?
Naughty Bear?
SOCOM? Maybe?
And here's the thing, I like numbers, so I look at these figures. SOCOM's a 3-4 million seller franchise. At best, you're probably looking at half of those people buying Move anytime within its lifetime, and I don't think they're going to do it this year. I don't see SOCOM being that game that gets new people to buy a PS3 because they didn't buy it the first time for SOCOM Confrontations, I want to say. I mean, personally speaking, the game that has me interested in it is Sorcery. But that's not out this year. That doesn't have a release date, actually.
Yeah.
And I'm sure somebody's going to say, you know, Heavy Rain's getting support, and Resident Evil's getting support, and Tiger Woods. But it's like, those are games that you already have. It's like, I'm not going to buy a new device to replay them.
Right. Well, ladies and
gentlemen.
Oh, go on. I'll cut that out.
I was gonna say, it's like what I mentioned earlier with the DS and whatnot. I mean, it's the same thing kind of goes with the Move. I mean, you can kind of shoehorn it in, or you can try and make Move specific experiences, which it looks like Sorcery is probably going to be. like from everything I've seen, that looks like it could be interesting.
It's going to be an interesting game. The problem with making move-only games, or I guess, is that you need, like, there are games that are good for move, but you need a game that looks good on move and hasn't been done on the Wii.
Yep. And it's gotta make use of, you know, what the move can do better than the Wii, which is, in this sense, the recognition of, you know, space, rather than just X and
reality.
Y. Of course, augmented reality.
The thing is, as well, I mean, Kinect is totally new, so you don't really have a base there, whereas Sony can kind of look at what has and hasn't worked for the Wii, and so they can skip that kind of growing period where you're trying to figure out what works and just kind of rely on all the information we've gathered so far.
The problem with that is that most of the stuff that hacks that, I mean, the Wii's pretty much sells to franchises. Like, you'll notice, like, the top whatever song games are Wii X or Mario games. And franchise royalty plays a big part of why the Wii has such big momentum. And the thing is, it's like, you can't have an extra Just Dance. You can't have, I don't know any other, somebody help me with some big third-party breakout games on the Wii.
Third-party breakout games, eh?
And that's the problem.
Carnival Games.
Yeah, I was going to say Carnival Games.
And, again, it's going to be fine, but it's like...
Guitar Hero 3.
Guitar Hero 3 is already on the PS3.
Yeah, it sold the most on the Wii, though, which is interesting.
Well, not really, because the Wii...
It did.
I know it does. I know it does. So does Rock Band, I believe. Even being gimped and not having as much DLC, and the reason is that the Wii has become the party system this generation, and it's going to be really hard to get over that mindshare, and it's something, and I honestly think that's why Kinect and Move exist this generation, is that Sony and Microsoft really needed to break that up going into the next gen, or they would have been screwed over big time.
Just the interesting part with that is that, you know, Microsoft and Sony have done the better job of being a party system for people not in the same place, then Nintendo has been a local party system with everyone in front of the TV, but now they're trying to get into that chair too.
Well, I was going to say, it's not a party if nobody's around. I get what you're saying with the online interface, but I think at the end of the day, people still prefer having somebody physically there. I enjoy online when I can't have anybody around, but I'd rather, it's why I love the new Super Mario Brothers Wii. You get four friends around, a couple of drinks, and you get to be douches to each other. Would I have preferred it to have online so I can play with some people? Sure, but at the end of the day, it does what it does well.
Yep. And on that note, I think we are running just out of time here. This has been Dual Wielding. With thank you, Mike.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you, Chad.
No problem. Glad I could make it.
Yep, good to have you. And thanks, Earl.
No problem. And say hi to your sister, Mike.
Well, we'll
that
catch you guys
salacious sound
a little bit later. Yeah, it's not a story worth hearing. All right.